On today's installment of Silver Screen News, massive delays at Disney, mixed reactions to Indiana Jones at the Los Angeles premiere, confusion at DC, weirdness with the Bambi live action movie being remade, but it's not live action, and something we talked about last week, which we said is happening, is now not happening. So, great.
And of course, we're going to throw back those hashtag TBTs because we're going to go back 10 years, 20 years, and 30 years for Throwback Thursday. Hey, screeners, how you doing? It's me, the one AJ, Anthony Jordan.
Yeah, not on screen, bruv. You need to bring me back.
Oh, shit. Okay, all right. We'll do that again. So let's just, I'll cut that. Hey, screeners, how you doing? It's me, the one AJ, Anthony Jordan.
And me, Nico Liro, and welcome once again to an installment of Silver Screen News. This is a weekly movie show. We're doing it during the day, not during the night this time. The new top 10 show should be available as of yesterday, so please go check that out if you haven't already. And please do remember that if you don't have time to watch the full hour-long movie show, it is available also on podcast on all popular podcast platforms, including Spotify. Just before we move into the movie news, please do remember to subscribe if you haven't done so already, and please do like the video if you haven't done so already, because it helps YouTube like us, and it helps us keep bringing you this, we hope, great free content. So without further ado, let's get into the first stories of the week in a section we call Hot Off the Press. Yes, and let's start with something which is genuinely upsetting me quite badly, because it's not stopping. It's constant changing. Here we go. AJ, can you see this? Yes. The Blade movie has been really delayed again. It has been moved back for the upcoming Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. Blade's production had a turbulent period last year, with director Basim Tariq leaving the project in September, originally set to release on November 3rd this year, 2023. The movie ends up being delayed from September to September 6, 2024, and now, most likely due to the writer's strikes, it's been delayed again until February 14th, 2025. The film is set to be part of Phase 5 of the MCU, which also contains Captain America: New World Order and Daredevil: Born Again. It will star, allegedly at this point, I believe, Mahershala Ali and Mia Goth, who is rumored to be playing the role of Lilith. The Blade trilogy from New Line Cinema helped shepherd comic book movies and superhero movies to the big screen. Combined, the three films brought in over $400 million at the global box office, which at the time was very impressive. And Blade was created by writers Marv Wolfman and artist Gene Colan. Right, I have some things which I need to get off my chest about this, because at this point, let me just break it down. It's been 4 years since Mahershala Ali was brought on stage at Comic-Con and told, "This is your new Blade." Mahershala Ali's in his 50s now. I'm really starting to question if this movie's ever going to happen. It's being delayed. It's been had a script rewrite. They brought in the script writer for True Detective, which I thought, that's a good thing. And then literally the next day, the writer's strike happened. By the time this movie comes out, Mahershala Ali is going to be in his mid-50s. Like, this is getting crazy now. And obviously, one movie gets delayed, it starts a snowball effect, which we're going to talk about in a moment with the rest of the Disney delays. But this is madness to me. AJ, do you think we are ever going to see this movie?
It's difficult when you've got such big announcements that it looks embarrassing, which I'm sure Disney are. I must admit, at one point, I for some reason thought it was going to be a TV series, but not too much of an impact right now. A delay is a delay, whichever way you look at it. It's unfortunate. The guy looks good for his 50s, let's put it that way. So there's a chance you can still work on it. Blade can also be a bit of a senior character, depending on which way you're going to angle this, you know? Let's be honest. I don't know. Age-wise, Robert Downey was probably a bit older than the Iron Man we kind of picture in our comic book visions, you know? So, yeah. Yeah, it's not great, But is it impossible? No. I just don't want it to be Gambit, which was, you know, a long rumored film coming out, and it just didn't, which is, you know, that's one of those. What we really don't want it to be is Black Adam, where it just takes forever and a day, and people like remember the Rock had hair when it was announced, and he was a complete bald guy by the time it did release. It's all bits like that that it's, you don't want people to stop caring. Look at your reaction to what Black Adam was by the time it finally came. It was like, I'm over it. That's what I don't want to happen. So yes, certain delays can happen, but don't leave it too long. You know, we don't want GTA 6 out here.
And it does run the risk of being that legitimately. It's worrying what's going on with Blade. But as always, I want to hear from you guys. Are you still excited for Blade? What do you think of the casting of Mahershala Ali? Personally, I think that's an inspired bit of casting if he stays on at this point. And do you think this movie is actually ever going to see the light of day? I mean, leave your thoughts and your comments down below. And AJ, speaking of delays...
Oh, gosh, here we go.
This is a doozy, like, because our second story, there's been some shit that's gone down at the House of Mouse. And once again, it's due to the writer's strike. But Disney dates new Star Wars movie, shifts Deadpool 3, an entire Marvel slate, and delays Avatar sequels through 2031. Oh. Here's the full story. Disney is shaking up its release calendar, adding it, and this is from Variety, sorry. Disney is shaking up its release calendar, adding a new Star Wars movie and Moana live action adaptation to the schedule, and delaying the next three Avatar movies by a year. At this rate, the fifth trip to Pandora will be released in 2031. That's in 8 years for anyone who wants to know the math. Among the highlights of the overhaul, a live-action Moana will be released on June 27, 2025. The good bit of news is Deadpool 3 has been moved up, so closer, from November 8, 2024 to May 3, 2024. That's good. An untitled Star Wars movie, not part of the three that were announced at D23, is debuting on December 18, 2026. Avatar 3 has shifted to December 19, 2025. Avatar 4 to December 21st, 2029. Avatar 5 to December 19, 2031. Based on this timeline, the final Avatar movie is coming 22 years after the original 2009 blockbuster. But wait, there's more. Other changes include a massive Marvel reshuffling. Captain America Brave New World is moving from May 3rd, 2024 to July 6, 2024, which in turn is delaying Thunderbolts to December 2024, Blade to February 2025, and this one hurts me, Fantastic Four to May 2nd, 2025. Avengers the Kang Dynasty is getting pushed back an entire year from May 2nd, 2025, to May 1st, 2026, taking the place of Avengers Secret Wars, which itself is jumping back a year from May 1st, 2026 to May 7th, 2027. And with the addition of a Star Wars film in December 2026, that means that two movies set in the galaxy far, far away will be released in that year. A separate Star Wars movie has been pushed from December 19, 2025 to May 2nd, 2026. And another Star Wars film is set for December 17, 2027. Disney hasn't clarified the premise of any of these installments. There are other delays with the new Alien movie being pushed to August 2024. So it's quite the mouthful. AJ, very simply, what are you most sad about and your thoughts on the overall thing?
Believe it or not, I think Avatar is the one that's kind of got me like heartbroken. Yeah, from the guy who hated it to the guy who loved it. That's kind of... and it's annoying because you know most of it has been recorded and done, so what reason does that franchise have to be delayed? I can get like maybe creative differences for Deadpool has allowed Blade to push back because Deadpool's going to have something that's intricate to this and that and the other, and you know the pieces of the jigsaw need to be in a specific area for it to work. Moana is kind of interesting. That's always something that's got me a bit of a soft spot for. It's just mad to see that there's entire delays. It's like, so how are you guys making money in between that time? I mean, don't get me wrong, Disney will always make money. But yeah, where and how is my question. But hey, we live in a world where we have to just sit back and accept, because what are we going to do? Put our forks down and be like, we're not going to see a film because you delayed it? No, so we just have to sit back and accept.
What's fascinating about this is that there is still a huge contingent of the people I call, without being patronizing, the more passive movie fans who don't necessarily have their finger on the pulse of what's going on in Hollywood, nor do they care, which is absolutely fine. But there's still a huge contingent of cinema goers who think, the Writers Guild of America strike, that doesn't affect me. I don't need to pay attention to that. Oh, well. Listen, Disney, the whole Disney live action slate delayed, the MCU slate delayed, the Star Wars slate delayed, Avatar delayed, even non-Disney films, but still produced by Disney, like Alien, delayed. Like, if there was any doubt that this Writers Guild of America strike is serious, and first and foremost, I think they should be backed, because this fear of AI taking over their roles as ghostwriters is valid, and they want to have written in their contracts that they're going to be protected from that. So I fully support them in this. But my God, does it screw around with our entertainment stream? The one thing I am happy about is one of the movies I was probably most excited for, and that's Deadpool 3. Like, I can't wait to see what Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds do together on screen. That's going to be absolute gold. Rumor that Patrick Stewart's coming back. Lesser, but still out there. Rumor that Ian McKellen could also appear as a kind of final adieu. That's exciting, and I'm glad that that's coming out earlier. But at this point, it's kind of like, well, yeah, you had to fill the slot with something, didn't you? So I really hope that by moving Deadpool forward, it's not going to reduce the quality of it somehow. Obviously, that is a movie which has got less special effects. It's got less of a big budget. So it should be easier to work with than, say, an Avatar movie. But it's crazy what this writer's strike is doing. Anything more you want to add on it?
Look, it's just that. It's those who believe that the strike doesn't affect it is, you know, you're not paying attention to the fact that you watch TV. That's what I would say to that. If it's just us creators, then I appreciate that too. But yeah, it's that. But this is life. It's one of those things. And yeah, as you said, people need protection of their jobs, man. Like, yeah. So yeah, all support. Real.
What are you guys most sad about? What's your biggest concern about all of this? Are you on the writer's side, the studio side? Let me know what movie you're saddest is being delayed, all of that down below. And please also do remember to like and subscribe if you haven't done so already. Our next topic, less of a depressing note, but still somewhat of a mixed bag. Because so here's the thing, just for a bit of context before we go into it. Disney were very, very brave doing the first ever screening of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny at the Cannes Film Festival. A festival notorious for having harsh audiences, harsh critics, because it's obviously the creme de la creme of film. Some people will call it snooty and snobby. I would say you're missing the point if that's the case. This is where the greatness comes from for the next 12 months. And while people applauded Harrison, it very much, the word got around that it was kind of a lifetime achievement thing more than anything. It's like, well done for giving us 5 indie films. You're a rock star in your 80s. We love you, and we do. But then the reviews started to come out after that first showing in Cannes, and people were saying they were mixed. It's like, yes, but the average score on Rotten Tomatoes was in the 40s. Okay. Yes. Now, a quick reminder, the way Rotten Tomatoes works doesn't mean that the movie is ranked at 40%. It means that only 40% of critics gave the movie a positive. So the movie isn't ranked 40%. That's not how Rotten Tomatoes works. Only 40% of people basically gave it a thumbs up. But then the world premiere happened in Los Angeles this week, and it went up. The scores went up.
Interesting.
But it's still not great, because it only went up from 40% to 55%. And if you ever wanted to see, like, we're going to go through it now. If you ever wanted to see, like, a selection of mixed bag reactions, I mean, you've got it right here. Let me just bring this news story up for you. So, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny reviews and reactions continue to be decidedly mixed. legacy sequel Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny has now premiered in LA, and further reviews and reactions for the follow-up. Sorry, let me get rid of all the ads. For the follow-up have now come flooding in, and they range from dazzling praise to a major misfire. Since debuting at the 76th Cannes Film Festival, the response to Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny has been decidedly mixed. So let's wade into these latest reactions to Harrison Ford's Last Ride. So, we begin with MovieWeb's own David Reddish, who heaps praise on Harrison Ford's return, saying there's only one Harrison Ford and there's only one Indiana Jones. Dial of Destiny knows as much and treats both star and character with proper respect, and calls Indiana Jones in the Dial of Destiny a terrific send-off. Good. We leap to the other end of the spectrum with Thread Topol of United Press International, who calls Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny the worst installment in the beloved franchise. Quote, every action sequence loses the feeling of adventure when it includes shots that look like the stars were added to them later. Oh dear. Yahoo's Tom Butler, however, found a lot to like in the Indiana Jones sequel, awarding the movie a promising 4 out of 5 and saying Dial of Destiny is a blast from the past, so enjoy Harrison Ford's performance as one of cinema's greatest icons, backed by John Williams' legendary theme on the big screen while you still can. Further reactions to Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny are equally mixed. Simon Thompson at Showbiz Simon says, hashtag Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is underwhelming. It lacks the magic, energy, and excitement of previous entries, especially the first three films, and largely feels somewhat pedestrian. It's a journey rather than an adventure, and the third act reveal is sadly a dud. Meh. That part scares me, AJ. It's a journey rather than an adventure. That is terrifying to read. Don K says, sorry to report that Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is a crashing, bored, dull, nonsensical story, brutal pacing, and zero interesting characters. The score was great and the picture looked sharp, but this is a major disappointment. Jeff Irwin says, Indiana Jones is firmly in the middle of the Jones pack for me. It's on target with its core themes, but lacks the surprise and magic of Indiana Jones at its best. There are key elements that fundamentally don't work in terms of plot logic. Still fun to see Ford punch Nazis again. Okay. But with every negative comes several positives, making it impossible to know how Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny will fare when it hits theaters at the end of the month. Mark Paces says, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny may not live up to the level of the trilogy, but the spirit of adventure of those films is felt throughout. Good. It was a total blast, and I can't wait to see it again. This is the true fourth movie of the franchise. Sorry, not sorry, Crystal Skull. That makes me happy. John Hoey says, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is a beautifully shot, pulpy adventure like Raiders with the heart, humor, and challenge of belief of Last Crusade. A fitting entry and ending to the franchise. Fans of Indy will enjoy the ride. I look forward to seeing it again. This baby moves. Great. Lee Travis says, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is a solid entry in the franchise. Don't let the initial festival review scare you away from this film. Too much de-aging used, less is more, and the runtime needs to be trimmed. But overall, very much enjoyed. And it goes on and on and on. So, AJ, I'm actually going to put it over to you. Are you excited for this movie? And are you planning on seeing Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny on the big screen?
Big screen is a big question. It really depends what else is around at that time. And God, to be honest, truth, if you beat me to a review, because it's not high priority in my list. I've got no beef with Harrison Ford. I've got no beef with Indiana Jones. I'm more, Indiana than I was Han Solo. Was I happy to see him in Star Wars? Yes. I don't know. I think it's very difficult. I'm a completionist. So yes, I want to see it. You know, I did roll my eyes when I heard this film was coming out, though. It just felt wrong. There are certain things that an adventurer can only be of a certain age, and that's what's throwing me off. Mixed reviews isn't helping the situation, because I believe this is where you're in nostalgia. Like, those who cling on to nostalgia are the ones giving it the better reviews. I don't believe as a standalone film, had this been a new franchise and Harrison Ford was playing Indiana Jones for the first time at this age, people would be like, oh, this is amazing. He's still got it. And that's just the truth. I will watch it because I want to complete. Am I going to be over the moon about it? I doubt it.
In the cinema?
Very possibly, bro. I stick by it. Very possibly. It's not high priority to me. if there is another film out there that catches my eye more, there's a very strong chance I will be in that one more. It's not a guarantee I will be in the cinema for this film.
Wow. I'm somewhat similar. So I was in the minority of people who were saying the trailers really did not impress me at all. I thought the trailers for me smelt like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I'm saying that purely based off of the trailers. The other thing that had me seriously worried was Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who I know that the correct thing to say is, we love Phoebe. This is a woman who is involved with the killing of James Bond. This is the woman who is involved with making robots ultra hardline feminists in Star Wars. This is a woman with an agenda. And if I get one whiff of that agenda when I see the movie, I'm going to be annoyed. And if it continues, I may exercise my right to use my one token of walk out of the cinema a year and walk out. If I get too many whiffs of Phoebe doing Phoebe, I'm leaving the cinema. But I will go and see it in the cinema. It is a high priority for me. I would like to say I've seen Harrison on the big screen as Indy for one last time. But warning. And that's kind of where I'm at with it, yeah.
I am. Do you know what? The more, just before you even said it, actually, the one thing I can say is I've never seen Indiana Jones on the big screen. So to say I've done it, tempting. But it's not that priority. I'm not going to lie. It's not that kind of priority. To say, yes, I've done it. But it's not Last Crusade on the big screen, is it?
So, right. Yeah. The question is for you guys. Are you excited for Indy? And it is a good one. What's your favorite Indiana Jones movie? Obviously, I imagine it's going to be a toss-up between Lost Ark and Last Crusade. Let me know which you prefer. Maybe it's not. Maybe you're a Temple of Dune. Maybe you're one of the few who love Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Let me know down in the comments below. Let us know down in the comments below. And if you've seen Dial of Destiny already and you're watching this video back, again, let us know what you thought of it. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Down in the comment section, please, guys. Okay, our last hot off the press story for this week. And AJ, you've so aptly said that despite a clear direction for phase one in DC, it's still confusing as hell with all of this extra world and add side world and what. So you've got the Batman on the side, but you've also got the Joker on the side. Those two are not connected, but yet they're both in the side world. And then you've got this main story running through it, which starts with Superman in 2025. Yes,
indeed.
No, it's just got
okay
again. Like I don't understand why they did this. Like, so we're going to talk about Blue Beetle, which I think as an isolated thing has a rather wonderful story. This was a movie that was in the pre-David Zaslav DC running. They were talking about getting rid of altogether, like scrap this movie, it's a dud. Zaslav came in and went, it's all right. Put it to streaming, right? From that, they decided it's actually getting quite good feedback when we're doing audience tests with it. Put it on the big screen. So it's had a nice kind of nearly dead to streaming to, okay, give it the big screen treatment, which makes me happy to see Warner Brothers, unlike their stupid predecessors, actually realizing that the money is in the big screen, not in streaming. So nice to see them learning from their mistakes. And now James Gunn has done this interview on the Michael Rosenbaum podcast that has just, maybe you can make some sense of it. It's left me confused as all hell. Here's the story. Let me bring it up now. James Gunn confirms Blue Beetle as the first DCU character. So, Cholo Maridueña's Jaime Reyes will be the first superhero for the rebooted DC Universe when it comes to theaters later this year. The Flash effectively ended the DC Extended Universe with the release of his first solo superhero film. Oh, you said his. Damn. With the end of the DCEU, the new look DC Universe gets a new fresh start with one of the unlikeliest characters. So you agree. At face value, it just sounds like, oh, it's Superman Legacy is not going to be the first movie. Blue Beetle will be. Right? Mm-hmm. No, it gets complicated. Blue Beetle, not a popular character like Superman or Batman, will debut as the first superhero in the rebooted cinematic universe for DC Studios. James Gunn, co-CEO of the new studio, also clarified which movie will kick off Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters. In a recent interview with the Inside of You podcast, Gunn revealed that Jaime Reyes, aka Blue Beetle, will be the DCU's first superhero. He adds that Superman Legacy will be the official start of the new DC universe.
Huh?
Exactly. To quote James Gunn, I mean, the first DCU character for sure is Blue Beetle, and the first full DCU movie is Superman Legacy, Gunn said during the podcast. Gunn and Peter Safran were appointed as co-CEOs of the newly formed DC Studios late last year. Since then, the duo has charted a course towards reimagining the franchise and focusing on telling, quote, the greatest story ever told. Earlier this year, the pair revealed the new look DC Universe and the first slate of projects for Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters. However, the duo also inherited four projects from the past regime that were yet to be released, which were Shazam Fury of the Gods, which bombed, The Flash, Blue Beetle, and Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. The Shazam sequel and Ezra Miller's first solo outing as The Flash are both set in the old DC Extended Universe. Both Blue Beetle and the second Aquaman movie are part of the new DC Universe, thanks to The Flash effectively introducing time travel to the DC Universe. Despite not being part of the new slate of movies for the 10-year plan for the DC Universe, Blue Beetle and Aquaman are the first films in the new shared universe. Superman Legacy will be the first full-fledged movie set in the new universe under the watch of Gunn and Safran. And it just goes on basically repeating the same thing. Could you please, for all love and money, try and help me understand? Huh?
I think I've got it. And bear Explain. With me on this. First of all, I think when they said his, I think that's Barry Allen as opposed to the actor playing Barry Allen. So that could be his.
Yes, for sure. I'm just so being
that,
a dick.
That's fine. That's that. What I believe is this film will introduce the character Blue Beetle. And yes. It's Blue Beetle will, with the actor in place, will be the first character installed. However, the film was created before all those involved had a chance to get involved, hence why it's the first character. But you can't do any tie-ins. However, with Superman coming in, you can now intrinsically make references to Blue Beetle and everybody else in a way, maybe very much like your post-credit of I would like to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative program. Something similar to that says we can now join this into, yes, we are in the same world. You know, it could even be a news reference. Blue Beetle saves the day. You just see Clark Kent looking at that or reporting it because, yes, he's a reporter. He doesn't have to watch it on TV. He has reported sightings of this character. Now they're in the same universe. That's the only way I can kind of put my finger on the pulse. Aquaman 2, which has more interest and much more of a bigger budget, you can now pay with reshoots and delay that in order for it to be like, even though we've inherited it, whatever's done, we can still recast, reshoot. And let's be honest, there was a certain court case that made sure someone definitely didn't come back in that film. So there are ways to play with Aquaman 2. And that is probably the best way I'm going. Is it bold to say that Blue Beetle will be the first one? I think the first Shazam made money. So yeah, it was going to... The first one as well.
The first Shazam. No, the first one...
Yeah, the first one did. So it's not to say that DC are in trouble by saying... Oh, here's a character who's not essentially kicking it off, but he's just in the world. And you can put all the hype and people will be like, yeah, I've not heard of Blue Beetle, but I'll give it a shot. Something to take the kids to. It works. So he can be there. And let's be honest, if it doesn't work, yeah, he was introduced in there, but he doesn't have to return. The universe doesn't require him to be there. He could literally be a news story and that was it. That's the last we ever saw or heard of the Blue Beetle. It's not the biggest problem for them. So I believe that's how and what they mean by first character versus first movie.
I mean, look, your explanation certainly makes more sense than what the freaking head of DC has done, which in itself isn't good. But, I'm still confused. If you tell me this is the first character in the storyline, you use the Avengers as an example, Iron Man was the first character. Iron Man was the first movie. Iron Man kicked it all off. It was simple and clear. This is the start, right? Now you're telling me this is the first character, but it's not the first movie, but it's a movie with the first character, but the first movie is not in for another 2 years. But this first character who we're introducing you to now is going to be part of that story. That's, oh my God, I've gone cross-eyed. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, I have my finger on the pulse with this stuff. You have your finger on the pulse with this stuff. I'm getting googly-eyed about it. And I don't see how your average audience member is meant to keep up with the whole, he's the first character, but the movie he's in is not the first movie. That's the Superman movie. And he may appear as part of that storyline, even though for the course of the next 10 years, we haven't written him in at any point into our story. Like, what the fuck? I'm sorry. Damn it, we're going to get demonetized. I shouldn't have sworn. I hope they don't catch that. But for me, it's listen, your take's good. I want to know what everyone else thinks. I want to know down in the comment section below, do you find this super confusing what they're doing with DC at the moment? Are you able to keep up with it? And also, I'd actually like to say, I think the Blue Beetle trailers have been really good. So I'm interested. They have been good. So I'm genuinely quite curious about it. And with regards to The Flash, please jump over to Instagram right now so you can see my instant out of theater reaction. Spoiler alert.
Oh, it's out. Of course it is. It came out yesterday, right?
It came out yesterday at the time of recording. When you guys watched this, it would have been about 5 days ago. But yeah, dude. It's superb. It's superb. I know. Watch the out of theater reaction. I don't spoil anything, and you can decide if you want to go and see it. You're correct. Either way, that's the beautiful thing about this.
Yeah, no. Listen. Correct is just a moral compass for me. That's the problem. It's a moral compass for me. But we
you can watch it and not review it.
I've still put money towards it. That's the problem. Anyway, we digress.
You're supporting the army of talented people who made it. It wasn't their movie. It was many people's movie.
Yeah. Anyway,
there's no right or wrong here.
Yeah,
there is no right or wrong here about what you choose to do with seeing it. But I'll tell you this: it's great, not good. It's great. Like, it's the most fun I have had this year at the cinema. And bearing in mind the movie I saw before, it was Transformers: Rise of the Beast, which I thoroughly enjoyed. There's your litmus test. Me saying I loved it that much.
Okay.
In a year where a good Transformers movie came out, the most fun I have had this year at the cinema has been The Flash.
Okay.
Run with that how you will.
No pun intended.
Yeah, well done. And we've got two quick news stories to now cover before we move on to the end of the show. But yeah, so the last week's news today in a section that we call News Update. And with the news update, we have got, as I mentioned, two stories. Then one of them is a kind of a follow-up to one of our stories from last week, which I'll save until the end. But let's start with, it's more from Disney this week. And it's one that's triggering me like something rotten. Because AJ, a Bambi live action movie, is they're in talks to direct a live action Bambi movie for Disney, with Sarah Polley in talks to head up the movie. So this is an exclusive from Deadline, if I can get rid of the articles here, an exclusive from Deadline, which says, after winning the Best Adapted Screenplay Oscar for Women Talking, Sarah Polley is on the most epic undertaking of her filmmaking career thus far, as Deadline understands that the filmmaker is in talks to helm a live-action take on Bambi in very early development in Disney. Multiple sources tell Deadline that the project is a musical, which I find weird, but we'll talk about that. The studio first signaled its intention to adapt Bambi for live-action back in early 2020, bringing Geneva Robertson-Dwarrett and Lindsay Beer aboard as writers and depth of field to produce in January of that year. No word yet on when the project might be put in motion, given unpredictable strike conditions. Right, so a few things here. I need to just take I need to take this moment to edutain people. The term live action is being used constantly incorrectly. If something is photo real, it is still animated. It's computer animated. Unless you're about to tell me that they've gone and trained a load of bloody deer and they're going to do like they did with that old Babe movie and just add, you know, digital mouth movement. But no, but to be fair, I like that old Babe movie. That Babe movie is good. But unless they're using real animals and real locations, like people say the live action Jungle Book, that thing was completely animated. There was nothing live action about it. Literally less than nothing. The whole thing was filmed on a green screen. The live action Lion King. Not live action. It's photo real. So please, Deadline, Variety, all of these. The fact that me, a freaking nobody on YouTube, is having to clarify this, stop using the term live action. It is not live action. It is photo realism. The other thing I'm really batting an eyebrow at, Bambi a musical. Now, I appreciate that the Disney animated movies have a long lineage of having fantastic songs. Yeah, Bambi doesn't. That's not one of them. There's no Be Our Guest. There's no Bare Necessities. There's no Colors of the Wind. There's no Friend Like Me. Like, Bambi doesn't have those pieces of music. So I don't understand what direction they're going in calling it a musical. That said, the fact that they're going down this route tells me that much like they did with the photoreal Jungle Book movie, they might be reshuffling the story around a little bit, because Bambi is a very short movie. And if they're going to do like they did with The Lion King, which is literally just a scene for scene recreation, there's not much movie there. So I have a feeling this is going to be reshuffled a bit. AJ, what are your thoughts on a live-action Bambi movie? Oh, I'm doing it now. What are your thoughts on a photoreal Bambi movie?
In honesty, you kind of said the things that were going through my head. I was like, well, we haven't trained animals. It's not like there's a cast that are going to come in to make it live-action. You know, even Jungle Book acclaimed, like, Neil Setti was there. Like, you can't do that with Bambi. It's animals the way through, short of the hunter who's in for, like, 2 minutes. But that was like first stage. Bambi's a weird one to me in general. It's never been like, I'm aware of the story and people say it's like the first heartbreak you witness as a kid, but it's not groundbreaking. As you said, it's a short film as well. So would it be interesting to see it look real? Yes. Anything more to it? I don't know. And again, now if we're going to talk musical, I'm not saying every musical has to be all singing or dancing. Singing, yes. But what are we going to do? Have a dancing deer? Like, what was your thing that made you say to me, like, you know, Thumper's going to be like some jazz hands and just tapping away on the floor? Like, what
jazz is?
Do you know what I mean? Like, ears on the foot just tapping away, like tap, tap, tap it. Like, what are we going with in this angle to tell me that Bambi's going to be a live action musical? Like, it just feels like it's branded wrong. You know, when they say just do what it says on the tin? I want to know how this tin is going to be produced, because it looks like an absolute lie. It's not realistic unless you're going to have men in deer costumes who are just growing away with it. Like, I'm not going to be a prat about it, but I'm also just very intrigued. Like, what are we doing in order to do that? You know, it feels weird. It's one of those that out of all stories, I'm just like, how? Dumbo's done it, Pinocchio's done it. It feels only right that this other legacy Disney movie has its shot to shine.
Yeah, I'm going to call a dream casting right now. There is only one person who can play Bambi if they're not doing the whole photo reel, and they're not doing a scene for scene remake, and they're actually doing something completely different, and it's going to be live action, and you're going to put a man or a woman in a deer suit going jazz hands, as you said. There's only one person who can play the role of Bambi: The Rock.
Look out for the trailer on YouTube already. It's there, guys.
Because that guy has hit rock bottom and he couldn't get any lower. Like, he's a few movies away from doing Tooth Fairy at this point.
Joking aside, you have seen that trailer, haven't you? Where they said,
Oh, yes.
However, taking it in another direction, Andy Serkis would be good for Kimoka.
To quote Rajesh Kuthrapali, when talking, as in the same voice of when he talks about Sandra Bullock, because he's great in everything.
Animal recreation, that would be the one. But yeah, right now, Disney, how?
Yeah, how? Right. Are you all excited about a Bambi live action movie? I would love to know your thoughts. Leave them down in the comments section below. And if it's not Bambi, what live action again? But if it's not Bambi, what Disney classic animation would you like to see given the quote unquote live action remake? Let us know down below. And our last news story of the day before we take it to our final section. I've already trolled the person on Twitter, of course. I've not had a response, understandably. But last week, a certain Jeff Snyder from Collider, you can find him at the InSnyder on Twitter. Feel free, have some fun with him. Gave a scoop. Now, I appreciate the scoop game is a dangerous game because more often than not, it's swing and a miss than home run. But he scooped that Illumination were doing a Zelda animation movie. Swing and a miss. So that's not happening. We reported on it. So I guess this is the point where we have to kind of apologize.
Redaction.
Because AJ, Illumination chief denies animated Zelda movie, reports, I don't know where that came from. Oh, it's really simple. Jeff Snyder at the InSnyder on Twitter. He's your source. Chris Meledandri tells The Wrap at Annecy that there are no plans to adapt the video game franchise. And goes on to say, if I could carry on, earlier this year, the Super Mario Bros. Movie produced by Illumination and Nintendo was released theatrically and has since taken in over $1.3 billion at the global box office. Well done, Super Mario. It's enough to wonder what is next for the fruitful partnership between the animation studio behind Singing Despicable Me and the video game giant. And while a sequel to the Super Mario Bros. Movie is quietly being worked on a recent report, it even says it here, via Jeff Snyder, had the two companies collaborating on a... Anyway, let me cut out of that then. That's really annoying. Let me actually refresh the page. Hang on. Why'd you do this to me? I'm
technology,
sorry.
Be technology.
Please bear with. Yes. Had the two companies collaborating on a different beloved property, The Legend of Zelda. At the Annecy International Animation Festival, The Wrap caught up with Chris Meledandri, the founder and CEO of Illumination and the producer of all their films, and asked about whether Link was coming to the big screen soon. I don't know where that came from, Meledandri said of the Legend of Zelda report. I mean, I can understand how people would surmise all sorts of things because obviously we've had a great experience working together. My relationship with Nintendo now includes, this could be important, this part, AJ. My relationship with Nintendo now includes being on their board of directors. So I understand how people can surmise these things. But in terms of the specifics, that was just something that I've been hearing lots of reports. This is just about what's next for Nintendo and Illumination. I mean, yeah, no shit. Again, sword. Damn. I will try and get that under wraps. I think we're going to be demonetized for that one. But yeah, no kidding, right? It's like, what is next for Nintendo and Illumination? You've just literally broken the trend of creating the biggest single video game movie of all time and making it an animation movie to really shove it in Bob Chapek's face. And now it's clear you're going to do more of these because you don't just say, oh, 1.3 billion, we did it once, that was fun. No. There's going to be more, as there's going to be a Super Mario Bros. Sequel, and for sure they're going to delve into the whole Nintendo library. So just because it's not official yet doesn't mean it won't happen at some point. But we do need to say that the official report that came out last week about the whole, there's a Zelda movie in the works. No, there's not. AJ, do you think we're still seeing the Zelda movie at some point? Or if not, what Nintendo IP would you have an animation of?
Do you know what it came to my head? Donkey Kong for the win. Donkey Kong's the next one. Like that has got to be like, you know, Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong, we're all winning. Then what's the next movie? No, it doesn't end in Super Smash Bros. It ends in Mario Kart. That's the way we're going, Nintendo. Give it to me. All right. We've got the live action version. It's called Mad Max, but that's not what we're talking about right now.
You still haven't seen Mario Bros, have you?
Come again?
No. You still haven't? No. Yeah, so the Mario Kart stuff is in that movie.
Hey, damn. Okay, so there we go. It's already happened. But that's that. So what I will say is our good friend there from Collider is what we call in the wrestling terms, fantasy booked. He fantasy booked this stuff, but maybe because he heard a guy who's the director.
Worked.
Yeah, he was. Or just like, shameless plug, people listen to the Ministry of Wrestling and stuff get intertwined. Maybe Elimination listened to a bit of Silver Screen News and went, oh, that's a good point. How do we? I don't know where that came from. Yeah, not to say, hey, redaction, the Silver Screen dudes locked us off, but that's the way. I'm fantasy booking myself here. Yeah, Donkey Kong, I think, would be fun. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, could we go down a new route of Pokemon? Like, they've had their films before.
It's a good shout.
Maybe an Illumination version. Like, that would be the next big gun to play with if it's not going to be Link and Zelda. I'm not too sure. But obviously, as you said, Mario sequels. But very interesting that a redaction from someone has come out without an apology.
Hey, yeah. You know, yeah.
Still fresh. At the time of this recording, he may have corrected himself and said, oh, because this dude is now on the board of directors, I've heard he's involved in the Zelda game. I thought it was Zelda movie. My bad.
Well, he hasn't responded to me on Twitter when I called him out for giving me false info. So, voila, I'm not surprised. But other movies I would pitch, I'd love to see a Kirby movie. I think that would be
Kirby's fun. Been a minute, yeah.
Yeah, Kirby would be fun as all hell. I'd love to see a Metroid movie too. Like, lean a bit into the sci-fi horror thing with Samus. I think that would be cool as hell. But I mean, Zelda's the big one. Zelda's the big one. You've got to give us that at some point. But here's hoping. So that's it for the news sections this week. We come to our last section of Silver Screen News, which we call the long winding road down memory lane. Because it's time for classicness. It is time for Throwback Thursday movies. Please explain to people how Throwback Thursday works. How does Throwback Thursday work, AJ?
Well, guys, we go back 10 years, we go back 20 years, and we go back 30 years. Now, normally when you hear go back 30 years, instantly in my head, I'm like, what 1970s movie are we talking about now? Oh, No. That was a long time ago. That's done. We're talking those 90s baby movies. So, yeah, this is where we start to feel really old as the Silver Screen dudes. So, yeah.
It's so funny you mentioned 90s baby movie because that's exactly what 30 years old is this week. But we'll get to that.
Oh, don't go there. Oh, my God. Okay.
It's so funny you mentioned that, but all right, cool. So we've got two movies that are 10 years old this week, and they're both big hitters. One of them very near and dear to you, and it's already 10 years old, starring Brad Pitt in a genre that you can't stand. But yeah, World War Z is 10 years old, if you can believe that.
Oh, man. Do you know what throws me off is when I saw World War Z, because that is within give or take 5 years. Yeah, so that in itself is makes sense. Ooh, time waits on no one, guys. Time waits on no one. World War Z, for anyone who, like myself, doesn't really endorse the horror or zombie genre, this is worth a watch. Irrelevant of your, but hey, look, different folks with different strokes. This is worth a watch. This is different to the rest, and it's a good watch. It's a nice journey. It takes. I'm not saying it is that exactly, but it gave me like an Independence Day type vibe to it. It had that kind of how the world reacts and how you unify with strangers to get across and survive. That's what I really liked about this film. And
yeah,
props to Brad for it. I had a very good time with this film. Just can't believe it's 10 years old.
10 years old. I think you love it more than I do, but I still do love it. And I like the fact that they went down the whole 28 days later route with, you know, the speed zombies. Like,
yeah,
these aren't no need food, eat brain. It's like, no. These guys have got a backward cap and they're going, and they turned it backwards and they're going, quick zombies. And I also love the way they kind of imagined if zombies were ants and they built mounts.
That
of
part them. Always, yeah, that so cool. it fascinated me. I'll be honest, I was like, "Oh, that's clever." That's clever. Yeah, that's what I remember with that film.
I don't remember the ending being very good, but I remember enjoying the first two acts very, very much. I think this movie gets unfairly, you know, poo-pooed on. It's a barrel of fun. But 10 years old, also AJ, a sequel, which of course raises the question of, well, how old is the first one then? Older! Because 10 years old from Pixar is Monsters University.
And the gap between Monsters University and Monsters, Inc. was pretty big, I remember.
Big. And this is already 10 years old. That's the point. The gap between the first and second was huge.
Oh, my days. This is telling me how much... Oh, my days. Do you know what's... Oh, God, I'm going to expose so much things in this. Zane, my nephew, was in school with this. And this is like one of his first school bags. It had, and I remember joking with him on that. And I remember talking so much about this film because he wasn't born when Monsters, Inc. had come out, you know? But to think that that boy is now 16 years old just tells me, oh my God, that was young 6-year-olds. That's the instant thing that's coming into my head with that. I'm like, oh man, the sequel is 10 years old. Oh my God, that means we're just a couple of years away from being like, at 20 years old, Monsters, Inc.
Literally that.
Jeez, man. Jeez.
Literally
Monsters University was fun.
It was Revenge of the Nerd.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's exactly that. You watched it and you're like, I know this story. That's exactly what I remember seeing it. But oh man, okay. Interesting. That's two shockers there.
One of Pixar's lesser movies, but again, okay, excluding their more recent releases, there was a point where I was saying Pixar are the best studio on the planet. They've taken a bit of a dip in the last few movies for me. I'm hoping Elemental's good, but the last Pixar movie I remember being like, great, 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 was Inside Out. You know, everything after that I liked or I didn't, but there was nothing that I went, loved. Lightyear, I liked it. Onward, I liked it. Soul, couldn't care less. Luca, couldn't care less. Pixar Luca needed to worked. Rediscover Pixar.
Luca worked for me. Soul was a real.
But it was fine. It wasn't like epic Pixar. You know, no, Luca wasn't Coco.
No, I can give you that. 100%. 100%.
And yeah, but yeah, 10 years old Monsters University and 20 years old AJ. I love hearing you talk about this movie because you flubbing hate it.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah,
is it in this Cornetto trilogy?
No,
okay, oh God,
it's not, but it's so funny because you were. Unbeknownst that this was the movie that's 20 years old this week. Last week, through some tangent, you were actually trashing on it, which is hysterical. From your favorite director, AJ, Ang Lee's The Hulk.
No, do not make me talk about this crap.
Oh. It's 20 years old, bro. Enjoy.
Oh, 20 years of pain. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, the simplest blueprint ever. Monster comes out. It's Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde. It's as simple as that. A man who is cool, calm and collected, 95%, well, 50% of the time, when PO'd, goes all kinds of PO'd and turns into the biggest rage monster you could ever imagine. No, I'm now going to say, we're going to give an understanding to the Hulk. We're going to create a Greco-Roman tragedy for the Hulk. No, you prat. It is very simple. Just get angry. And you know what? You know these little bits that get people excited for like the stupidest of reasons? Oh, wow. Eric Banner's going to play Bruce Banner. It's meant to be. This is going to be a great film. Spider-Man was great fun. This surely has to follow. I, to this day, have not been able to finish this film. I have brought the DVD. I had a friend who we both know who used to be the pirate master and give us VHSs of this thing. Why can I not finish it? Because it is boring as all hell. How dare... Oh. Now I'm about to turn green because this was the biggest failure. Can't stand it.
No, it wasn't. Here's the thing. The movie as a whole did not work. I won't disagree with you on that. And I'm not talking about the Greco-Roman thing. That was dumb. There were some ideas in this movie that were very, very good.
The comic book pages were awesome. I'm not going to deny it.
Yeah. That
it
for me
really immersed like, comic book movie with movie. Like I get all of that.
Yeah, and you could use that. That's something they could have used in all comic book movies moving forward. That's how good it was. If you'd had that on Iron Man or Avengers or anything, that edit would have worked. Yeah. That's pretty much it. But
you know, it was the slow build into the fact that his dad had been pumping him with needles, and we're just seeing these little shots of a baby rage quitting, like time and time again when he doesn't get his way. And it was just like, can we get to it? And then it does get to it, and then we still can't get to it. Oh,
no, I hear you. No, really not Trey Trebia. Really, yeah. Really not Trey Trebia. And our last movie at 30 years old, 90s baby movie.
Have kind I of. Referenced this movie recently as well?
Nope.
Okay.
Definitely not. I think you've seen it. And if not, I shall run with it. But 30 years old, Dennis the Menace.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kids' movie. Oh, yeah, okay. I think what you're saying in terms of 90s baby. I literally, in my head, when you said it, yeah, I was thinking like Baby's Day Out. For some
Baby's
reason,
Day Out, Baby's, Day Out.
Baby's Day Out has either gone or is coming, and I'm really like, I can't believe it. I want to see what the baby looks like now. That's what I'm waiting for Baby's Day Out. Dennis the Menace, I have seen. I actually remember going to this film with my godfather. My godfather treated my sister and I to this film in the cinema. And what was really weird is now that I look back, it makes so much sense, but at the time I couldn't. He recognized Christopher Lloyd. I didn't. And he just kept saying, that guy, he's a really famous actor, and he's played a doctor before. And I'm like, what doctor? What doctor are you talking about, Derek? Like, I just couldn't figure out. He was talking about Doc Brown. Like, I was just like, I'm trying to think of all these famous TV doctors that this villain is playing.
Right.
But yeah. No, Dennis was fun. Dennis was fun.
Dennis was fun. It was, hey, Mr. Wilson. It had Christopher Lloyd in it, as you said. It was very much like the beta Home Alone, wasn't it? It was very much like the lesser Home Alone. But I wasn't a particular reader of that comic strip. But I tell you what, because I was a kid at the time, I do remember watching this movie on repeat a lot when it would play on Sky. And it was an easy turn it on, turn your brain off. It was fun. I've got nostalgic childhood memories of it. That's pretty much it. Just before we leave, you said you wanted to see pictures of Baby now, right?
Oh, no. First of all, what year was it released? Like, are we going to see Baby? But then we'll leave it till then. I'm going to hold out. I'm not even going to Google it. Let's have the shock for when the shock is right.
All right. You got it. Well, then wrap it up for us, mate.
Okay, guys. So there you are. Like, how do you feel about those films? If you are younger than Silver Screen Dudes, which I hate to say, it's not that hard. But if you are on YouTube and you appreciate film, which of these films have you seen? We encourage you, go back and have a look at what we were enjoying when we were your age or a bit younger. Like, it's there. This is what these capsules are about. Like, I feel Monsters University is a good middle ground for everyone to be like, hey, I've seen it, I've not seen it, it's there. If I could, I'll encourage you not to watch The Hulk, because I don't encourage people to waste time. But hey, give it a shot. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm also down with that. That's what it's all about, guys. So give us a like, comment below, and tell a friend to tell a friend. But for the entire Silver Screen News Show, I am the one AJ signing out.
I am Nicola Rowe signing out, and we will see you guys next week. Do be sure to stay tuned to the channel each and every day, where you'll see these new shows uploaded as single segments, and you'll also remember you can watch the whole show as a podcast. Like and subscribe if you haven't already, and we will see you guys next week right here on Silver Screen News.